Hi folks, Joe Stagner here again with another video in our series on ASP.NET Dynamic Data. You'll recall in the last video that we did, we were looking at declarative attributes to implement user input validation in our dynamic data application. And if you haven't been working along with us, I highly recommend that you go back and look at the earlier videos in this series. I didn't want to have to make folks sit through regenerating the scaffolding for this dynamic data application in each video. So we've actually done this in the first video in this series. So here's the state of the application as it was at the end of our last video. And what we've done here is we've added some user input validation by declaring this partial public class product and then assigning a metadata attribute, passing in a user-defined type, product metadata, and this user-defined type is defined by us here. Specifically, we're looking at the public property units in stock, and we're specifying two attributes. One says this is a required field, and the other says the range has to be between 0 and 150. And you can use this sort of declarative model in dynamic data to do things beyond just input validation. For example, we can I'll show you in a subsequent video how you can use these attributes to specify what the appearance of that field ought to be when it's displayed in our dynamic data application. So the use of declarative programming for input validation is awesome, but sometimes we need more complex logic, so we need to imperatively define in our VB or C# source code what the user input validation rule needs to be. So to do that, we're going to extend some of the public methods that are generated for us in our scaffolding. Now, if you're new to public classes and public methods, I'm going to take a second to talk about what the possible advantages are, because if you're looking at this, there are a couple of other mechanisms that you might think about implementing this sort of functionality in. One is, of course, to use interfaces where we can declare what the interface should be, and then at development time we're required to implement the details of that interface in our class. And we don't want to do that because we want this to be optional, right? So we don't want the user to have to do any work beyond what the generated scaffolding provides for them. The other thing we might implement this sort of functionality with, the other feature, would be to implement a class hierarchy where a base class gets defined for us in the scaffolding generation, and then the user would create a new user-defined class and inherit that base class. And that doesn't quite solve the problem for us either. So the thing that the partial keyword does for us is let us define part of our class or property in one file and part of our class or property in another file. And the secondary definition is optional. So I don't have to add any definition for any of the partial classes or methods that are generated by my dynamic data project type. So it's 100% optional. But the advantage that this gives us is that I can have a code generator that generates one side of the partial class or method and never have to touch it with my manual coding process. So I can implement the other half of the partial definitions so that if I later have a need to go regenerate that scaffolding code, I haven't broken the additional code that I've written. Because they're not combined until build time. So hopefully that gives you just an idea of one of the advantages of using partial. So in our case, we're going to write some code, and we're going to add some validation logic to fire when the product name gets changed during the editing process. So if you're working in C#, you'll have IntelliSense to do this. In Visual Basic, we're going to use the declarations dropdown. And before you send me an email, I've talked to the Visual Basic team about this. And what they tell me is that this is just the Visual Basic way of doing things, that this sort of thing gets implemented in the Visual Studio IDE as opposed to in IntelliSense itself. So the one that we're interested in, well, first let's go look over at the northwind.designer.vb file. And this isn't something we've written. This is something that's generated as part of the scaffolding for using a dynamic data project type. This is part of Link to SQL. And if we look down here a little bit, you'll see this whole collection. There's this whole region of extensibility methods, right? And they're just partial private sub and a bunch of method names, right? And So over here in the product.vb file that we've been building, this is one that we created manually, I'm going to extend what we've done already, and here in product class, since this is going to extend one of the extensibility methods for the products table, I'm going to select in my declarations. So notice here I have we're interested in product, and in declarations here I'm going to scroll down and I'm going to find the on product name changing extensibility method, and I'm going to select that. And here this method will now be fired whenever the product name is in the process of changing, but before it's actually been changed. So here I can add any sort of validation that I want. So for example, I can say if char is lower, so let's find out if the first character in the product name is an uppercase character. So it will say if it's lower, which is what we want to prevent from happening, and here we're going to look at the value that's been placed in the product name field, which is passed in, as you can see here, it's passed in this variable name value. So let's just look at the first character in that string, and if it in fact is lowercase, then I'm going to throw an exception. And we'll make it a validation exception. And here I can just pass in some text that I want to be propagated. So product names must begin with an uppercase character. Okay, so it's that easy, right? We just selected product, on product name changing, used the drop down to generate the stub for our sub here, and then we're just catching that value. We're looking in that value to see is that the first character in that array or in that string object a lowercase, and if it is, throw an exception that says product names have to start with an uppercase. Right, so that's it. Let's go ahead and run the application. And when this comes up, we will be able to go into the products table. And we'll edit a field. And I'll just pick any one here. And I'm just going to go in and I'm going to change Chef Anton to start with a lowercase letter. Click Update. And there's our validation, right? List of validation areas. Product names must begin with an uppercase character. So really, it's that easy just to extend the extensibility method. So we don't have to do all of the event wiring for manually. It's done for us by virtue of being a dynamic data project, and we can just add the specific field-specific validation logic that's necessary. And I've just shown you a simple one, but you want to sort of explore all of those extensibility methods and understand that for every one of those extensibility methods, that represents some event on a field or a property in our dynamic data application that we can now add logic to. And it doesn't have to be just validation logic. It can be formatting logic or referential logic or really anything that you want. So one of the brilliant things about dynamic data is how really extensible it is. You know, again, sort of only restricted by your own imagination. ¶¶